Today is Sunday, the 11th of December, 2022, and I want to say a Shavua Tov to all the wonderful people in front of me and to all those on the screen, and ultimately, Bracha V'Hatzlacha to all those that will pick up this Shia on YU Torah. In relation to what we were working on the last few weeks, these are difficult questions. Yomo, whatever you do, hurry back. So if there's any... Mark, you're not sitting in your usual seat, all right? We'll hope for the best. All these questions, for instance, of a conservative temple and an Orthodox minyan renting a dance hall for a Shoshanium Kippur, these questions are not black and white. And halacha lemaisa, you can't give an across-the-board answer. Every individual question has to be measured on the social implications, the community, the rabbis involved, etc. But I think the story of Utopia Parkway Jewish Center is classic for us. And Reb Heschel Schechter's psak, and he did not know what Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin told me in 61 when I had the same Shaila in Lower Merion, but they both paskened exactly the same way. And I still remember Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Henkin's words, word by word, Chzenish Favasel Zayn Do Anisa, Mendavin to be Mendav Al Pi Halacha. You took iron, all right, was gate on in temple versus nicht ein Geschäft. Meaning that I really don't understand what the prohibition is here. You're davening in the library with a mechitza, fi halacha. What goes on in the temple is not your concern. And that basically would seem to me to be the way to go. On the other hand, you have to know, it could be you're in an area where there's a tremendous battle with the conservative movement. And when an Orthodox minyan goes into a conservative temple, it's as if you're giving them a hechsha, that we can daven here, you're davening. And as Reb Moshe says, the average Jew, unfortunately, this is true in Israel today, anyone who doesn't have a Torah education has the point of view, all right, this is a Moroccan, this is a Taimani, this is an American, everyone davens differently, this is Orthodox, this is Reform, this is conservative. And that's why you have to know what the situation is. It's not something that you can just give a blanket answer. It's not black and white. The truth of the matter is, and this is what's so important in Psak Halacha, that most questions that you get, you can't give a run-of-the-mill answer. If it's a din d'oraita, someone's asking you if you can use a camera on Shabbos, so there's no question. But when you get involved in the questions we have in life today, it's not as easy to be as black and white. And you have to know the circumstances. So I hope we did justice, but I just want to caution that you can't walk away and say, halacha lemaisa, this is the way to go. Could be at times Reb Moshe's viewpoint is right, at times it could be that Rav Henkin's viewpoint is right. I can tell you, this question haunts us. One of the examples in modern times, Columbus, Ohio. In Columbus, Ohio, that's where the Schottenstein family originates. It's a tremendous family. You have to give tremendous credit. This is a family that did very well in the retail business, department stores. And the original Schottenstein store remains closed on Shabbos until today. I was in Columbus. I can't say till today, but when I was there in Columbus, maybe 10, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and they showed me in Shabbos, the department store, the original store is closed. Today it's a conglomeration, so they have a whole chain. But the original store, now, the Schottenstein family, they davened, it was a conservative temple, and downstairs was an Orthodox minyan. And finally, the younger generations of the Shach...
It was never a conservative.
I know upstairs there was no mechitza.
They had like men, women, mixed and
Oh, yeah, no, it's not beseda.
They brought in a mechitza for a bar mitzvah, something
like that. No, beseda. It was conservadox. And I know that years ago, the younger generation gave an ultimatum to the temple, either you put in the mechitza, a proper Orthodox shul, or we're leaving. And the temple told them, go out. So the Shatnistins built their own shul and brought in their own rabbi, my Talmud, Rabbi Howie Zak, has been there many years already. But you see, there it evidently reached the point that they felt that their davening in the building was giving a hechsher to what was going on upstairs. And that's why they pulled out. And you see, you can't, it's not black and white, but you have to have seichel. You have to ask, when you ask a posek, the posek himself has to have some idea of what's going on in the community. And it's a fascinating question, but I hope we did justice to it. Okay, now I just want to see if there are any comments that I have to make. Okay. In relation to the Sheyurim, it's actually a Monday comment, but a Talmud wrote to me that I have a non-Sopnus friend who grew up in Williamsburg. His mother was very friendly with Rebbetzin Feger. And you may know that in Williamsburg for Pesach, they have dirty carrots that people buy as they think they're not processed and more kosher. His mother asked the Rebbetzin, what the story is with the dirty produce? Her answer, I don't know. I use regular carrots. So I can tell you, in my time, there was once a big rumor that the eggs that you buy are washed with chametz, are washed with vinegar. And in Williamsburg, suddenly a whole business developed of unwashed eggs. Each egg was stamped that it was not washed. You had nothing to worry about. Turned out, lo dubim v'lo yad, that the whole story was false lachatchila. But, all right, this is a fascinating comment. Another question that came up, and I don't want to spend the time on it, I want to get into halacha, but it's a fascinating question, and I can contribute something that I know not everyone knows, meaning at the Aguda convention, an atom bomb was dropped. Professor Aaron Twesky, that's the law professor. So he made the point that Aguda today does not welcome Hasidim. And the Vaharaya, the Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah, does not have one Hasidic Rebbe on it. It's all Litvish Rashi Yeshiva. And he was very angry, and he predicted Aguda will become irrelevant, that ultimately, if you don't represent all the Orthodox Jews, Aguda is not what it used to be. I have a lot to comment on this, but essentially I just want to tell you, Reb Moshe Scherer is not here. Reb Moshe Scherer, Kol Zman, that he was active, he was one of a kind, and you all know I had a very special relationship with him. I'm not proud of how I backed them into that relationship, but when you, I write about it in Washington, you can enjoy the story, and it's absolutely true. But when your back is against the wall, you have to shoot. So I shot, and I scored a bullseye. So Reb Moshe and I became very close. And you see, in the 80s, when Rav Shach started here with the Pure Hashkafa, he split the Aguda into three. I lived it. I don't know you. For you, it's history. But I was here. I was already well integrated by the 80s. And you have as a result Aguda, Degel HaTorah, and Shas. And Shas is bigger than the whole Aguda. It's almost two times as big as far as the voting ability. So Rav Elie Tzve, and these are all people I knew well. I knew him from Lakewood. I knew him from Philadelphia. I was Rav Lo Mary, and he was then getting underway with Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. And I knew his wife, Devor. She was a Kamenovich. I used to give them lifts in my jalopy. I learned how to drive in Lower Marion. So Rav Elie Tzve wanted to bring Rav Shach Gadol Hadar, in his opinion, wanted to bring the Machlokes to America. And Reb Moshe Scherer would, Mamish a Kunstmacher, I don't know how to say that in English, a magician, he kept that machloket out. And Aguda remained united. And they even solved the problem of separate seating. You see, the Hasidim tend, the crowd, Shabbos, they're going to eat separately, men and women. But Litvisha, there's no such thing. You have to eat with your wife, with your family. So Reb Moshe Scherer introduced, when you would sign up for the Agudah convention, you had a choice of family seating or separate seating. You follow? He was able to manage it. Then the Novominsk was elected president of Agudat Yisrael. Now the Novominsk, I have news for you. Moshe, he was not a total Hasidic. You understand? He was a mixture. He was from kind of from Litvish Yeshiva. He taught in Chicago. Look, he praised a guy named Rakefet many times in front of Barabim. It takes a certain and a gooder individual to praise Rakefet. All right, Moshe Scherer praised me, but that was because I had him against the wall. But the Novominsk owed me nothing, and it shows a certain... He was broad. He was the Novominsk Rebbe, Mitzad Sheni, a Litvisha, an Americana, broad. Today, Agudah has a problem. And I understand Professor Tversky. Now, will they solve it? All right, it's up to them. The truth of the matter is that in America, you have the OU, you have Agudah, and the OU today has become quite an effective organization. They have political power, they resemble Rav Moshe Scherer on that level. And the OU today is quite, it's right of center, I'll put it that way. I can't say it's right of center, but it's right of center. A lot of Agudistim feel very comfortable in the OU. So it's interesting to see how things will play out. But my heart goes out to Professor Aaron Tversky, not just because we have the first same names, but because the Agudah, as I know it as a student of Torah history, the greatness of the Agudah, that it was able to combine Yekes and Chassidim and Litvaken, they made a tragic mistake when they decided 103 years ago that if you believe there can be Jewish sovereignty before the coming of Messiah, you are not a frum Jew. That's a tragic mistake. We'll deal with that in the Monday course when we deal with the refutation of Satmar. But Agudah and Israel, okay, all right. Nikavelitov. What I'm referring to, the rebirth of Hasidus and... my dear student, the Talmud Rebbe's Hanenikel, Rabbi Dr. David Tversky, who could have been Talmud Rebbe of Philadelphia if he wanted. There's no question that there's a rebirth of Hasidus. What's fascinating is that it's in the Tzioni Dati world. You see, that's what's fascinating. That today, Hasidus reaches out to them. And you take a look at Lubavitch, all that's going to go on, Yutet Kislev and Rabbi Shilat, I mean, where are they coming from? A good deal of it is from the Tzioni Dati world. And they're looking for that Hasidic Rebbe, for that influence, the Pashkana Rebbe in Gilo, and their other Rebbeim. You look at the Kalever Rebbe, you see the crowd that comes to him, half of them are in Kippat Srugat, and they're looking for Hasidus, the Varamkite. So there is a rebirth, and I happen to know about the Talmud Rebbe, the Rabbi Tversky wrote to me about his cousin, distant cousin, the Talmud Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Tversky. Yeah, I know that there's a rebirth, and he has had quite a following in Israel, including people from the Tzioni Dati world. And if you see the Alonim that are giving out before Shabbat, you'll see that they're reaching out. It's not the classic Hasidic world, but it's the Israeli Hasidic rebirth that's happening right before our eyes. Okay, I want to go further, and I have to tell you, it's a very interesting tshuva. We won't finish it all today. It leads to a medley of tshuvot. And it's in my own life, I've had this shaila quite a few times. It's something halacha lemaisa. I'm quoting from Chelik Dalid, Siman Resh Mem Vav. And the tshuva is way back. It's 1964. It's to the Chentz Gevira. It's from the Halberstam family. It's to Reb Sholem Yecheskel Shraga Reuben Halberstam. It's many names here because it's when they have daughters, the daughters marry Reuben, but you still want to have, you marry into the Halberstam family, you wind up keeping all the names to give cover to all your forebears. And he was a Chassidic Rebbe in America. If I'm not mistaken, he was in the Bronx, but I'm not positive. And he turned to Reb Menashe Klein with the Shaila. And the Shaila, a woman has in Hebrew we call it a mum, a defect, call it as you wish, a mum biyofi, that her nose is too long. And kashala lehizdavek umaod nim asla. And she's very upset, and she wants to do plastic surgery. And it describes in a basic way plastic surgery. Some of you, I know plastic surgeons, and they make a very good living. You should know plastic surgeons. Anyone in the Hollywood world, boy oh boy, they depend upon plastic surgeons. And women growing older today, Rabbeinu Shalom, what they can do with the face, and you look older, wrinkles, they can get rid of the wrinkles. All right, we men, most of us, it doesn't bother us, but the women, it bothers. Now, can they do plastic surgery? And of course, what's involved here? It's forbidden to beat someone up. It's forbidden to draw blood. If it's forbidden to beat someone else up, you're not allowed to beat yourself up. Chabalah. And you're not allowed to be machabel in your body unnecessarily. And this is the question. Is this allowed or isn't allowed? And here you get involved. I have to tell you, on this topic and what we're touching upon, you can find thousands, if not tens of thousands of pages that are written. And particularly in the state of Israel, because you have a hospital like Shaarei Tzedek, you have a hospital like Laniado. I have a grandson now doing his stage, what would that be in English? His, not the residency, what becomes before residency in English?
Internship. I think in the States they all call it residency.
I don't know.
Residency is first.
Then residency. Then he's doing his residency. Here it's called stage. He's going to start intern. He's going to go beyond it soon. But so he's doing it in Laniado, and Laniado is telling me Pesach. He was in a state of shock. All the water fountains had strainers on them. You follow? My grandson comes from my son-in-law is a big lamb, but he's a litvisher. I never saw a strainer on a water fountain in my life. Strainer, if there's chametz in the water that comes in, you know, from the Galil, I don't know, wherever, the Kinneret. So my grandson said that was a shock for him. He thought he came from a firm house, and here he saw something he never saw before. But you see, these hospitals try to run al pi halacha 100%. And you have to give all the credit in the world, because they've developed systems. For instance, I know at Shaarei Tzedek, I don't know what they do today, but at one point, they were using what we would use in Russia. When we went to Russia, you would buy, like you buy for a kid, he writes on it, and then you lift up a magic slate, I don't know what it's called, something like that. A magic slate, you write in it, and then you lift it up, and what you wrote disappears. So we would use that in Russia. You brought that in. I don't know if even if they found it, you said it's a gift for a kid. You know, it looked like it is a child's toy. And if you had to write something, you would write and then lift it up and that's it, gone. So they worked with Shabbos when they dictated, they wrote on that, it's a ktav shel eina kayam, it's not meant to last. And then after Shabbos they would type it up. I mean, these are little things that they solved as much as they can. There should never be an Issa D'Oraita on Shabbos. The Issa D'Rabbanan for Cholech, Cholech Yesh Bo Sakana, it's not a problem, but we're talking, so much has been written on this topic. And essentially, what are we involved with here? What's wrong with doing plastic surgery? And here, you see, any invasive procedure, you know how you begin. You don't know how it's going to end. And what do you call sakana? What do you call chabala? Invasive procedure. Give me an example. I have a chaver, should live and be well. Again, at my age, most of my chaverim are not with us, or I have to say they should live and be well, they should have a fuah shleima. This is a very wonderful rav. And one time he had a procedure where they check the digestive organs that there's no growth. I forget what the procedure is called. Maybe you can, anyone know, you can mention it. Something where they put a liquid down, etc. And 99% of the time, there's no problem. When he did the procedure, the doctor punched the organ. Something went wrong and there was a cut. He was near death. Later, he sued and he got a tremendous settlement, enough of a settlement that he could buy a house in the five towns, I'll put it that way. But he was near death. So you see, something that appears to be not problematic, the minute it's invasive, you can have 1 out of 100, but nevertheless, it's 1 out of 100. This takes me to my shiur of a week or 2 weeks ago. If you recall, I did it the shiur. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post by Sherwin Pomerantz. And Sherwin Pomerantz wrote about his daughter. It's 39 years already. Shari Pomerantz, Zichrona Livracha. It brought back a lot of memories for me because Shari was my student at Machon Gold, and she was a sweetheart. You know, sometimes you see a student, this girl is special. And I remember the final time I saw her, right before the year ended. We were all at the Kotel Friday night, and I had given the girls mitzvah. I said, you know, you're going to the Kotel, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concentrate, don't look at the boys that year. You know, afterwards this big social scene. First you got to, so I remember meeting her outside we're walking back to Machon Gold, and she's big smile on her face. Rebbe, I didn't look at any boy. I only davened and did just what you said. All right. Then she went back to Chicago. And I told you the story. The family was coming in Aliyah. And they found she was having headaches. They found it was an uncancerous growth on her brain. And they said in Chicago, let's operate here. We'll do a better job than in Israel. And she was 19 years old. They operated. She never got off the operating table. So you see, here is something which the doctor swore, no problem, we'll do it, we'll get it over with. And she never got off the operating table. Hashem Yirachem. So that's exactly the question here. And Reb Menashe Klein, see, he's aware of all this. Reb Menashe Klein says, I like the word he used, and even though they claim these operations have no sakana, he says, nevertheless, gila lon maiserav. Uses the word maiserav. Maiserav is in the Baba Batra, in the Gemara. What does maiserav mean? That you can have a whole machloikis, but if you have an actual story of an Adam Gadol who did something, that's the way we paskin. Maiserav. And he says, I want to tell you a Maisa Rav. And here's the exact story I told you, that not as bad, that a lady was suffering from Cholei HaChotem V'Goron, she's something in her nose and her throat, and the doctors told her they can't heal her. Oh no, let me start at the beginning. That the Maisa Rav, that they did an operation on her nose, and the doctors told her there's no sakana. And minei oz, and after the operation, sovelet mecholi hachotim vegorin, and the doctors say there's no refuah. All they can do. Why am I? Is that? Move that. You're always gone. Mark, sit here. Move that.
Sounds like a connection.
Okay, let's see. Maisa Rav. Okay. Sit here. Do me a favor. Unless you're writing, if you're writing, take your notes here. Okay. So, Maisa Rav, that they couldn't do anything for her. And the rest of her life, she has to take a pill, trufat lahakel oleha, v'kein tisha'er kol yemei chayeha. And that's the question. Can we be mekil? How much of a chashash? What sakana? And here I have to tell you, they asked Rav Velbel, they asked the Brisker Rav. You know, the Briskers are famous for being mekil on all questions of sakana, fasting, kippur, etc. And the Rav always used to tell us that when Rav Moshe became a Rav in Razin, that was his first shtela, Bichor Haslavich, so Rav Chaim told him that any shayla you get in Yom Kippur, try to be mekil, they shouldn't have to fast, says. And Rav Moshe looked at his father, looked at Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim said to him, it's not that I'm mekil on Yom Kippur, I'm machmir in sakonet nefashat. And we all know the Briska, so they asked Rav Velvel, this I was told by ear witnesses many decades ago, they asked Rav Velvel, Rebbe, what's a sakana? What percentage? And Rav Velvel answered, ain't in a million. One out of a million is sakana. All right? So if that's the case, this is a very good question. And it's more than a very good question, because he tells the story, here, this lady had the operation. You know, what? So what? So they're playing with your nose. I've had it. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. I remember in Bnei Akiva, a girl said to me, going back to my youth now. So this girl, I remember on Washington Avenue, I don't know what ever became of them. There were so many Jews and so little Yiddishkeit left. But this girl said to me, you would be good looking if you had an operation on your nose, you know, it's a hooked nose. And I always thought about that. I was a kid, today, if someone said to me, you have a hooked nose, you should operate, I'd say, Chas v'chalila, this is the nose of Gedolei Yisrael. Did you know Rabbaron Kotler? What was his nose? Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, what was his nose? Please. But here, the girl went, and you see what the results were. All her life she has to take a pill. All right, it's not like cherry pomerance, but nevertheless, it's a pain in the neck. All right. When you get older, you take pills. There's no other solution to growing older and keeping going. And my wife and I, we made a cheshbon, how many different doctors we have. I think my wife came up with, she has seven, I came up with five. All right. So Reb Menashe Klein quotes the Gemara. Watch, you'll see something here very powerful. And you'll see what this leads us into. Gemara in Ketuvah, Daf Amid Bet, Daf Ayin Bet Amid Bet. You see, I fell for it. Daf Ayin Bet Amid Bet. Hamakadesh Reishisha, Manat Sheinu Leh Nedarim, V'nimtzo Aleh Nedarim, Einu Mekudeshet. Knasa stam venim tsa'u alena darim taitsev shalobik tuvata. Al menat she'en ba mumim venim tsa'u ba mumim eina mekudeshet. Knasa stam venim tsa ba mumim taitsev shalobik tuvata. And here Here you have a very interesting Mishnah that if you marry a woman, and we'll talk about mumim, and you say, I'm marrying you almenat, that you don't have any mumim. And it turns out after he marries her, he finds she has mumim. And this is open to discussion. What do you mean mumim? The varim shebegluyim, the varim shebeseita. But you can learn it very simply that in those days they didn't go out many times. They made a shidduch, and he never really got to look at the kala well. And he didn't realize she has mumim. Or it can be something that pashut covered up by clothes, and only when they were married did he discover it. So if he made a condition like that, and she does have mumim, then the teitzei shelo b'ktuva, she doesn't get the ktuva, and the marriage is not chal. The marriage doesn't take place. Mevatel et hakadushin. But if he just married her stam, and let me get it right. If there's no condition whatsoever, and there's no ketuvah involved, because there was never kedushin. But if he married Hastam, didn't make a tanai, and then he found mumim, so the marriage is not chal, and teitzei shelo b'ketuvah, and she doesn't get her ketuvah. All right. Now, then the Mishnah goes on, what are mumim? What are mumim? Kol hamumim haposlim b'kohanim poslim b'nashim. And here, what are mumim? Anything that's a mum by a kohen is a mum by a woman. Now, we'll come back to that. What does it mean, a mum, a kohen? We'll come back. But what's fascinating is that this Mishnah talks about Nedarim and Mumim. You go a little further in the Gemara, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Bet, Tana Rabbanan, Holcha Eitzel Chacham V'Hitira Mekudeshet, Eitzel Rofe V'Ripa'ota Eina Mekudeshet. Ma ben chacham l'rofe, chacham oket hanedem meikara, v'rofe eina merape ela mikan ulahaba. Okay, what does this mean? What is it talking about? A man married a woman on condition she has no nedarim, she made no vows. If she has vows on her, he can't abolish them now. They're from before they married. So she goes to a chacham, and she's mataneda. Even though she did it after they were married, it's as if she had no vows on her. What about a mum? He made a condition, I'll marry you on condition you have no mumim. And it turns out she has a mum, and she goes to a doctor, and the doctor heals her, the doctor operates, the doctor is a plastic surgeon, the doctor takes care of her. And nevertheless, even though now her face is as pretty as a face, a model, you can't say a movie star anymore, because today movie stars, and when I was growing up, movie stars were the epitome of beauty. Today it's the models, okay. So her face is as beautiful as a model, she's not Mekudeshet. So the Gemara asks, why is this? What's the difference? Because when a Chacham is Matir and Neda, he's Matir the Neda retroactively. It never was there. So once he's matir the neder, in other words, she'll say, if I knew I was going to marry this man and this man was going to be makpid, I would have never made the neder. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Retroactively, there was no neder. When he married her, she had no neder. So, the condition is chal. You go to a doctor, he heals you, but he only heals you from that moment on. At the time you were married, you had a crooked nose. The kedushin is not chal. Okay? If he's machnis al tashtam, he has to give a get, but she gets no ketubah. Well, that's the Mishnah, but I don't want to go. But what we have to see here is very simple. Nidorim mum. The difference, chacham is matia, oker. He rips it up retroactively. It never was there. A doctor heals, but he only heals you from that moment on. When you were married, your nose was crooked. He didn't know. He never looked at you. He never saw you. Never stared at you. Now he takes a look. All right, you went to the doctor. You healed it. But nevertheless, the marriage is not chal. Wow. But what do we see from this Gemara? Dava Pashat. You have a mum, you can go to a doctor. Am I right, Eliezer?
Sounds right.
That's Pashat, Pashat. You don't have to get involved now with any Dion or any pupil. Black and white. You can go to a doctor. And this is the way his tshuva begins. There's no greater proof than the sugya in Ketuvot.
But who says the Gemara is saying chatchila can go to a doctor? Maybe the Gemara is saying if it happened and you went, then it's okay.
No, but nevertheless, someone went to a doctor. That's the situation. The doctor healed it. It's no longer considered a mum. Period. I just want to go one step further in the sugya because I have news for you. Go one more daf. You get involved in everything going on today in our world. The progressives, or what I call the retrogressives, the Torah Jews. What's your first name? David?
Menachem.
Oh, Menachem, very soon. Menachem Mendel?
Yeah.
All right, it fits in. Wait a minute, so you gave me the doctorate.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking about that in class very soon. Not tomorrow, but in a week or a few weeks. I'm going
to
hit that.
Gave it to you many years ago.
Many years have nothing to do with scholarship. But it was never published. In other words, is it a book that's available today?
I don't know if he published it.
I don't think so. Where is he today? I last saw him in St. Louis.
No, he's a Slavin. He's in
he's
Sydney.
Where?
Sydney, Australia.
He's back in Australia?
Yeah.
No, he was in Sydney when I met him.
Yeah, he's still there.
Still there. I think he was in St. Louis at one point, at the university.
I think he was there. Right. A little bit for research, but okay. He never lived there.
Okay, all right. For say that, I can be making a mistake, but interesting. Yashar Koyachan giving me that wonderful doctorate. Okay, a machal. We'll get there. Okay, but I want to come back here. So now the Gemara goes through. Daf ktuva daf ayin hei omir alif, aval hu shehalach eitzol chacham vehitiro, Eitzel Rofeveri Pe'oto Mekudeshet. What if it was the opposite? The girl said, fine, I'm willing to marry you on condition you have no Nedarim on you and on condition you have no Mum. And then she discovers he has Nedarim, has a Mum. He goes to a chacham, he's mati neder, you know, and the petach is very simple. If I would have known I'm going to marry such a girl that's going to be makpida, I would have never made the neder. Fine, mutalacha, mutalacha, mutalacha. Goes to a doctor, and for the sake of argument, a crooked nose, a long nose, a short nose, the doctor heals the nose. She is married. No, very simple question. How come the opposite, if the doctor heals, she's not married? And here, if the doctor heals, he is married. She doesn't walk away. What's going on here? What's good for the man should be good for the woman, and vice versa? Fabulous question. Gemara's answer, oh boy. I don't want to spend 10 years on the answer, but we could if we wanted. Ihu b'chol dehu nichala kidirish lakash diyomarish lakash tav lemeitiv tandu me lemotiv almala. Okay. You've all heard that. What are we talking about? A man is makpid on a woman's beauty. He cares. He has to measure up to his standards. A woman, all right, the man had a crooked nose, straightened out. Won't bother her so much. Much more important for a woman to be married. Tavla meitiv du, much more important for a woman to grow older too with a man than to grow older alone. And you look into Tosfos, you look into the Rishonim here, that a man, what's wrong? The woman went to a doctor. She cleared up the defect. Why is he so makpid? Why do we say the marriage is not chal, or she goes out and doesn't get a ketuvah? And you see, Tosfos says that he always remembers what she looked like. And even that is going to bother him, that she once had a crooked nose. So you see something here, how different a man and woman are. A man, he has expectations, a wife, a beauty, smart, decent, considerate, sentimental. If she doesn't measure up, you'll get rid of her. A woman, she's willing to settle. All right, he's not the best looking guy in the world. All right, he's not the smartest guy in the world. All right, he's not the best provider in the world. But he's a man. Good to have someone. Nu, what do you say, Moshe? Does this apply today? Oh boy. Oh boy. Mark, the world was shaking or not. Do you remember, Rabbi Rachman? Yeah, you remember. You were in the first Kolo class. This happened. Ramesh said this happened in the mid-70s. I believe it was 75, actually. The world was shaking and continues to shake. There, I have one granddaughter-in-law. PhD, Hebrew U, research, Weitzman. My grandson, all right, he has a bachelor. All right, did Hester, bachelor's in robotica. Look, she's PhD. My wife asked her, does it bother you? She said, no. Yeah, I can go right down the line. Yeah, yeah. The women today, my daughters make more in a week than I make in a month. Some of them make more in a month than I make in a year. Wow, these women are so capable. My son-in-law had high rank in the army. So my daughter used to say, yeah, my husband is a general. That's in the army. In the house, I'm the general. Does it apply to women today? And Rabbi Rachman said, that's the famous talk he gave at the RCA. Tav lemeitiv du, tandu, me lemeitiv almola, doesn't apply today. And you understand that chazaka has to be mentioned within the context of where you're living, how you're living. And the truth of the matter is that this is basically correct. I'll give you a simple example. Ein Adam alse bilato bilatznut. Many times in Chazal that we say when a man has relations with a woman, they're married to Isha Nikmet three different ways. Kesef Shtabia, person has relations, he doesn't treat his sexual relations as a mere fornication. Well, that's a chazaka in Chazal. If that chazaka would apply today, do you know how much mamzerut we would have?
Rambam says the chazaka only applies to Ishkashim.
According to Reb Meisher and how he interprets it and everybody, this is, it's not so much the Rambam, it's the Achronim that the world has changed. Eliot, but let me explain the problem. Let Menachem Mendel understand the problem. You know how many Balei Tshuva we have out of Russia? Do you know what went on in Russia? Marriage was not taken seriously. In America, if two kids want to live together, they go to a motel, or they go downstairs in their parents' house. God have mercy, sex has become no different than eating meat. It's. I've said this more than once, they've taken the sex out of sex, unfortunately. It's just become another animal urge in a human being. There's no sanctity, no uniqueness that creates the human bond between man and woman. Look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Bet. I can't do it any better than that Gemara, but it's not for now. So in Russia, in order to live together, they got married. They got married, they got divorced, they got married. Suddenly, a guy comes from America named Rakfet, as the Russians pronounced it. You give a good shear, you create Balei Tshuva. So this guy now comes to Israel, and he's marrying another Russian girl. And if you start figuring out how many Jewish men she was with before, how can they marry? She never got a get. Lo aleinu, go to our own problems in America today where we're walking animals. There's no Kedusha, there's no God anymore. So you go, MCSY picks up this girl. I've had this halacha lemaisa. She becomes frum. At the age of 17, she slept with a Jewish boy. No, she never got a get. So we paskin today, this Reb Moshe, but it's where you cared halachically. Marriage meant something to you. You didn't treat it lightly. But today, we're walking animals. A miracle happens. People become B'nai Terah. It's a miracle. It's rebirth, recreation. You're starting fresh. What you did before doesn't count. It's not halachic. B'dieved, it's a tremendous machloket with Rav Henkin argued with Rav Meisha. You should know that the Rav, I spoke with the Rav at Lenz, Mori Rebbe, he came down like Rav Henkin. He felt like Rav Henkin. But all right, we pass from the halacha where we can't get a get, we make here. We have Yesham B'lismoch, Rav Avadja, Rav Meisha, many Chivit, many Achronim, Yesham B'lismoch. So you see, a chazaka changes. It has to be measured within the context of the civilization where you find this question. Yomo, tav lemeitav du me lemeitav armala. That works to your advantage, by the way. Just be aware of it, okay? Okay, you're shaking your head. At least you understand me. Does this change? So I have to be honest with you. I said to Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Zeichet Tzadik Levra, I have no idea who Rabbi Aaron was. He was once in a generation. Not just the learning, but the Mesirat Nefesh, the Ibig Gebenkeit, the total commitment. You have to understand, Rabbi Aaron was like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. These were unique people. So I asked Aaron, I said, Aaron, Rachman, Manny Rachman has something here. And you got to remember, I have a very sweet tooth for Rabbi Rachman. His son Michael was my Chavruta, 51 through 53. I was a Ben Bayit in his house in Far Rockaway many times. And I had a sweet tooth, I said. He has something here? So Aaron said to me, I quote, yeah, it's true, but the Rav holds this not to be a chazaka based upon human performance. It's a chazaka that's part of the creation of the human being. It's something in the very creation. A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. And man, you're alone. I have talmidim who are not married. I give up. I just told the Talmud, I have one Talmud, Animokiroto, with all my heart, he comes to walk me home from shul. I shouldn't, because you know the steps I have to walk down from, and he comes to hold my hand, because at my age, I have to hold on to someone when I walk steps, etc., you know. And he comes out of his way. He davens, nets. He davens, I think he told me Shabbos, they began 5:10 or something. And nets and vatikin, they call it, vatikin. I daven Hashkam, he does vatikin. Comes, walks to meet me. Walks me. So I told him on Shabbos, I said, you know, once I've told him 40 or over, I don't bother them about getting married. I say, all right, Ben Azai is a club, Ben Azai club. You notice in Hebrew, if you know modern Hebrew, there's an expression, Ravaka Chamutza. Translated, Ravaka Chamutza. A sour, a little bitter. You never heard the expression, Ravak Chamutz. Lahefech, Ravak Aliz. He's happy, no women, no expenses. He drank the mishtakot, translated as you wish. You understand? This is part of creation. It's not a chazaka that will change with times. And see, this is very, very fascinating. And the Rav was furious at Rabbi Rachman. Because if you take Rabbi Rachman's approach, see, I can't go into all the details, but look into Rakafar Aaron Chelik Dalet, Hafkot Kedushin. If you take the approach that a man, and you know, he doesn't have to kill himself, and Bizman Hazeh, where a woman is independent, all right, the woman may very well say, better no marriage than married to a dummy, married to a wise guy, married to a man who mistreats me, maltreats me. And if that's the case, could very well be that if a guy beats up a woman, it's no marriage. Hafkat Kedushin, the Gemara, various cases. Could very well be, if you want to go so far, I married this individual because I thought he'll make a living. But he's a lo yutzlachnik. He won't give a get. B'mafkiya kedushin. Who wanted him lachatchila? It's if you start taking that this concept doesn't apply, you can take a very liberal attitude towards retroactive annulment of marriage. That everyone yells and speaks about to solve the problem of men holding up women for money. And the Rav said that Rabbi Rachman is cutting off the branches of the tree on which we sit, on which tradition rests. And Tav Lemeitav Du, May Lemeitav Amala, is eternal. It's part of creation. Well, who is right, who is wrong? So I've told you this many times over the last 53 years or so. But halacha lemaisa, my wife and I tested it out. And my wife had two aunts who never married. Finally, one got married. And these, you know, rebellion, independent. My father was geboren a belza chassid, mit payas, and belza Lavush and bells, it came from real bells. And here in America, what America does to people, to families, and these girls, they're independent, spat in their parents' face, all that goes with it. And many years later, they wind up in Florida. And I had many times lived in Florida when I was younger and had strength. Once a year, I'd be in Florida speaking, teaching. And we became friendly with the two aunts. Malka renewed her friendship. And we finally asked them, you had so many suitors. They lacked for nothing. They worked. They had money. They were not bad looking. And they turned every man down, right or wrong. In their old age, not religious women, you should have heard them. What a mistake we made. What a mistake. Kav lemeitiv tandu meilimativ amala. Much better to grow older with two than to grow older alone. And all right, this is the Gemara, but here the Gemara applies it, no problem. A man goes to the doctor and they heal him. She has to stay with him. She's not going to throw him out. Why? All right. She remembers the way he looked. When he remembers it, it becomes egoistic in sein Sinn, translated. It turns him off. But she remembers, Baruch Hashem, I have a man, someone to hug, to hold on to. Spend life together. Do together. And boy, I think Chazal hit the nail on the head here. This is eternal. It can't be changed. This is the Gemara. And Ein Hachinami. I come down on the side of the Rav with all the respect to Rabbi Rachman and those attempts, the Basin. The story unto itself. One day a PhD thesis will be done on the attempt to revise the laws in New York, the Beitin, the Rabbanim involved, etc. Okay. Now, but what do you see from the Gemara? And Rabbi Menashe Klein says clearly that 100% from the Gemara, Muvua di isha o isha yeshla mumbi yofi muteret leilech lerofel rapota mi mum ze. There's no question that she can go to a doctor. The Gemara takes it as a given that no shaila. Aye, there may be sakana. We'll come to that later, but what sakana means, we have to live a normal life. Percentages win out. COVID, corona, call it what you wish. People against the chisun, the vaccine. What are you, an idiot? Percentages show that if you're vaccinated, 1 out of 100 die. If you're not vaccinated, 20 out of 100 die. So what do you do? Polio vaccine. You can go vaccine by vaccine. Nothing is perfect. But this is life. This is medicine. This is the way intelligent, normal people live. All right. I know people. I had a Talmud who I loved, we loved each other from the earliest days of BMT. He's no longer alive. He was an oral surgeon, a dentist, and he had, who has to see a doctor? He couldn't go to a doctor. The wind-up was, he died, never saw a doctor, and he'd gone to a doctor. He'd be alive and kicking now. But we have to live normally. Doctors make mistakes. My brother once said to me, brother's a doctor, said you don't go to a doctor unless you have to. Doctors make mistakes. Doctors are humans. And rabbis don't make mistakes. Tell me. You paskin, right, paskin wrong. Make mistakes. You give advice. I know one lady from Machon Gold who's still mad at me for what I answered her when she asked me a question 50 years ago. All right, she has a right to be. People would. Or they say, pardon me, Elias, they say people who argue with me because they say you have too much respect for Lubavitch. They say, listen, I know so many stories that, but you, Rebbe, you only know the stories that he succeeded. What about the stories where he didn't succeed? You follow? All right, that doesn't take away from the conflict of the Lubavitch Rebbe. His percentage of success was unbelievably good. Didn't win all the time, but Rabbi Shalom. We don't run the world, Rabbi Shalom runs the world, but we try our best to advise within context. And he takes it absolutely, no shaila, you can go to a doctor. Now, what are the moonim? And here, this is quite a Rambam, I will introduce you to. I wouldn't study it on an empty stomach, I put it that way. Hilchat Biyat HaMikdash, Perek Chet. And I'll begin with just Halacha Aleph, because what is a mum? What is a mum? I mean, a woman's going to claim, a man's going to claim, what's a mum? He doesn't want to pay a ketuvah, etc. Kol HaMumim HaMayuchadim BiAdam Tishim. There are 19 different mumim. And this comes up with the Kohen, that when a Kohen has it, he can't do the Avoda. Many of these women, you can't do Bichat Kohanim as well. You don't want people to stare, to gossip. Vizeh Pratan. And the Rambam says, I'm now going to list them out. All right? I'm not going to bore you with all 90, but go to Halacha Zayin. Perik Chet, Biat Mikdash, Halacha Zayin. Shisha b'chotein v'eluhem, six involving the nose. And he lists them out. Misha ika chotmo shokeya. Your nose sinks into your face. I've seen it. Afal pishenik kochol shnei davka achat. One second, Mishem tsa chotmo bolet lamala. The nose curves upward. Misha okets chotmo notev lamata, downward. Misha chotmo akum letzadechad, crooked to one side. Misha chotmo gadome varav. Your nose is just not in proportion to the other Evarim on your face. Misha chatmo katan meivarav. And the Rambam says, Ketsa misharin otal bi etzba ktana she'al yado. Im haya chatmo gadol mimena o katan mimena harei ze mum. And it's the you can measure. How big is it? Is what do you say, Yomo? Too big, too little? What do you say? And all I can tell you is the Jews and the Italians have one type of nose. The Irish and most Gentiles have another type of nose. And I hate to tell you this, but when you look at converts, you've got to be very careful to bite your lips because you're never allowed to embarrass a convert. But you can tell right away, as my wife always says, that's not a Jewish nose. That's not a Jewish nose. But you see, he lists out all the different, from the Rambam, and you see that the nose is absolutely a mum. And it's if it's absolutely a mum, if the Torah, if the Kohanim cannot do the Avoda, then this is a sign that it is a mum. And the woman is absolutely allowed to go to the doctor. And the Rambam and Reb Menashe Klein says it's only logical. Anyone here a Kohen? What if you're a Kohen and you have a mum? You want to cure it. Why can't you go to a doctor and cure it? Adarabba v'adarabba. You want to work in the Beis Mikdash. You want to do what you can. You want to cure it. And if you want to cure it, alachat kama v'kama, if the Kohen wants, a woman who wants to get married, a woman who's suffering mentally, a woman who has no self-confidence because of her nose, alachat kama v'kama, she can go, she can cure it. Now, here he says something very basic, and this is basic to the whole practice of medicine. There's a Ramban on this, there's a famous Rav Chaim. You can come up with an entire set of lectures. Tell me, why do we have doctors? Boteich Bashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. And I remember a Talmud Chacham saying to me, he was having trouble with his eyes. So I told him right away, you need a cataract operation. If you grow older, and it's one of the great advances in medical science today, the cataract operation. Well, I remember my grandparents were hospitalized for 2 weeks. They couldn't move at first. What went on with the cataract operation, and today it's in and out. It's amazing. In Russia, I remember in Moscow, there was one hospital they showed us that only does cataract operations. They're a big hospital. They do thousands every day, one after another, in and out, in and out, in and out. It's tremendous advancement. So this Talmud Chacham says to me, look, this is the way God created me. Why should I go and operate if this is what God wants? I looked at him. I said to him, what, you didn't have a Brit Mila? What's the whole purpose of a Brit Mila? Look into the Sefer Chinuch. Lahashlim, to finish off the work of God. And this is the world. Milut haaretz v'kivshuha. And here, Reb Menashe Klein quotes the Pasuk, Rapeh Yerapeh, the Pasuk in Shmot, that this is why we give reshut to doctors to heal. And this is why Judaism, Torah, does not look happily upon someone who says, let me pray to God and I don't have to get involved with doctors. That we have to pray to God is correct, but one has to live in the normal human fashion, and doctors can heal. And anyone who says that this is what Reb Chaim Brisker said, that there was some reason they found in the Ramban, they found the text, that you pray, you don't go to a doctor. He said, this is impossible. This is a forgery. Some student put it in. Cannot be. And going to a doctor, this is life. And this is Vayishlach. Well, take a look of Yaakov Avinu getting ready to meet Esav. How does he prepare? L'daron, l'milchama, l'tfilah. The whole shmuis in the Medrash Rabbah. What order do you prepare in? I remember once discussing this with Reb David Lifshitz, the Tzuvalka. We were discussing how much trust we have to put in Svahag and Ali Yisrael. And the answer is very simple. That first you have to act in a human fashion. Then what does that mean? You have to get ready. Bribery, shtatlanut, call it what you wish. Then you have to prepare for war. You can't take any chances. And then you have to pray. When you've done the Disrev Yisrael Salanta, how does bitachon fit in with hishtadlut and hishtadlut with bitachon? When you've done normal human hishtadlut, then you have a right to have bitachon. But one cannot say, I'm going to jump in front of a car and God will save me. Bitachon can only come after the hishtadlut has been done properly. And this is rapeh yerapeh, and ein hachinam, we're only human beings. We drive cars, we make mistakes, right or wrong. Baruch Hashem, I never hurt a human being with my car, but I've smacked up my car from over the decades. Well, once or twice I had bad incidents. All right, today I barely drive, so I can't boast I'm a Class A driver. I'm a Class A driver. I drive a place and I put on 3,000 miles a year or 5,000, if that much. But when you drive, well, it doesn't mean you stop driving. You follow? This is the human challenge. That doctors make mistakes, it's inevitable. No one is perfect. No one is so smart. Then there's so many different factors involved in medicine and how many pills a day and how many to take. And you can only try your best. And then, bitachon, bimit palel. And this is exactly Rav Menashe Klein's psak. That here, that rapo yirapeh, It's a mum by a kohen, and alachat kama v'kama, if it's a mum by a kohen, it's a mum by a lady, by a woman with human emotion. And I don't tell you how many chazal there are that you can quote that ein isha l'liofya, that beauty is the main attraction for the man. She has every right to go to the doctor. And this is Reb Moshe's Tshuva, where everyone in Yoredei, I believe it's Tzadi, you can check it out. If I'm quoting wrong, look into Rakafet Aron, where one of the early Chalakim, where I did a whole analysis of Reb Moshe, you'll see it there. But this is the unbelievable Tshuva of Reb Moshe, an unbelievable question. Generally speaking, Reb Moshe always tells you who asked him the questions. But this question he doesn't tell you, because the guy who asked it, Reb Moshe figured he's an idiot. It has to be some wise Alec Yeshiva Bacha who wants to win it all. So you know what question or not? It's the question he wants, the Kachalein. Again, it's a different world. When the Jews first came to America, they weren't as wealthy as they are today. So after World War II, up in the mountains, you had big lodges, rooming houses, where everyone rented a room. You didn't rent a bungalow like today, but you had a joint kitchen, and everyone had a certain area that they cooked on. So this person asked Reb Moshe, he's going with this girl. He wants to be sure that the girl is a proper match for him. So he figured out they can rent two rooms in the Kachalein. He'll be in one room, she'll be in another, and he'll see the way she cooks for him and the way she makes his bed. And he wants to know, because the girl is Becheskat Nida, if the girl is Becheskat Nida, there are hakot between a husband and wife, right or wrong, you know. Your wife can't serve you wine, etc., etc., certain things. I don't know, make a bed. Maybe if you're not looking, she can make your bed, but okay. But certain things of chibar and passing things, you have to take. So do these laws of ha-ha-ka apply to a woman who's not your wife, but she's becheskat nida? So Rav Moshe writes to the guy, what are you, an idiot? These are only laws between ish l'ishto because they're used to each other, etc. But he says to the guy, You're testing the wife to see if she can cook. Ribbono shel Olam, any woman can go and learn how to cook something and know how to make a bed, like in the army. Who did army? I'm in basic training here. Remember they would say, the sheets, everything, perfect. Did you have that in the American army too? Or a chaplain, you didn't have that business. They used to come in the... Fix. They taught me a new Hebrew word. Yeah, you learned the word. Fix. I said, what kind of word is that? Hakotziak mushlam. No, fix. They use fix. Okay, fix. I'll find fix. So the beds, any idiot can learn how to do it. But Rav Moshe says, let me tell you the three things to look for. Rav Moshe gives good advice. Number two is the family background, that you have something similar. My wife and I always say that what unites us more than ever We talk about the Bronx and Fordham Road, how we use it. It's all gone today. You can't walk on Fordham Road, but it's a sakonet nefashit by day, by night. You follow the background. Two people who grew up in Kiev in the Ukraine and they meet in Yerushalayim. That's the basis of a happy marriage. The third thing is, with all the background and number one, which I'll come to in a second, that the person is a shomeret mitzvah and you know she has a nice reputation. But the first thing Rav Moshe says, that you're attracted to her. That her looks are pleasing to you. See, Rav Moshe, way down to earth. And this is what it's all about. This is the secret. And Chazal, so many different gemaras that refer to this, the implications halachically. And when you talk about attraction, there's no set rule. One man's hot water bag is another man's passion. You follow? It's so individualistic. It's the way God made the world. And I have talmidim, handsome guys bring girls, they look like nothing to me. And you have other girls, beauties, and they bring a guy who looks like half a human being. All right, but they've seen each other. Attraction is not just, it's not just the physical look, but you see the guy's a live wire. The guy's intelligent. Girls, the beauty is not, handsomeness is not important for them. Intelligence could be. I have one Talmud who said, beauty doesn't heed, was the opposite. He married a girl, a genius. He said, tell her, I don't care about the looks. But the mind, that's what I'm looking for. But here's a basically man. All right, you know what's going on? Do I have to tell you in the Torah world today with the sickness of skinniness? What do they call it? There's a technical word for it. Anorexia, am I right? Anorexia, am I pronouncing it right? Anorexia. What goes on? They cross it to be so skinny. Let me tell you, in Russia I was amazed. Anorexic girls, no one looks at them. They're considered sick. And then I understood already a word I heard in my youth. Zidavsang zaftik. Zaftik. How do you explain it? Something to hold on to. Content. Gashmiyat. Zaftik. All right. This is Reb Menashe Klein. And absolutely there's no question that she can have her nose done. Now, in the case, and we're finishing up now, and in the case that the person, the Rebbe who asked the question, the case where something went wrong, where she winds up with a problem in her throat and in her nose, and she has to take pills, so here Rabbi Nachman is very sharp. He says, who was the doctor? He says, maybe this doctor wasn't, he uses the word uman. And listen to these words. The ein mevien raya min hashotim. That she may have gone to a doctor who really was not a good doctor. And the fact that he messed up the operation doesn't mean you can't do the operation. Ein mevim raya min hashotim. And that today is part of the modern world. When someone goes to a doctor, you go to your computer. It's amazing what's on the computer. I can't believe it. Sometimes I just got a Shiloh and a soft gel capsule and I typed it into the computer. Yomo and I work together. You can't believe in the computer. There's the Shiloh soft gel capsule. Is it kosher? Isn't it kosher? How you're allowed to take it? What you're supposed... I found not tshuva, tshuvat, the OU and the Rabbinical Council from Chicago and Rabbi Heinemann from Baltimore, and it's all there on the computer. So nowadays, when someone comes up with a question, they're going to a doctor, the first thing they do is check who the doctor is, where he studied, and then you have recommendations, like you go to a restaurant to check the restaurant, 20 different people talking about the rest, talking about the doctor, and this is exactly correct, that you have to know you're going to a proper doctor. Now, nowadays, if you take a look, doctors have up in their office not just their MD degrees, but their professional associations, who they belong to, what type of a group of neurologists, whatever their profession is, they're certified not only with the medical degree, but they're members of the professional association. Okay, and the chances are, Baruch Hashem, if someone is practicing and you have recommendations, and you know people who went, they are good. And I have to be honest, when we switched kupat, there was a change, a little atomic bomb on Gedut Ivri. So we switched kupat, so we had one neurologist, and now we have to have a second neurologist. And I checked out. People said, this lady is fabulous. And then I go to sign up and make an appointment, and she takes no new patients. Ah, so then Menachem Mendel, you used the first word I learned when I came in Aliyah in 1969. Protexia. You follow? And I wrote a letter to this doctor. Don't want to mention her name, because fabulous doctor. Maybe I should mention her name, give her publicity. But you can ask me if you need a neurologist, I'll tell you. And I wrote to her, dear, etc. I taught your sister in Michlala. Your father was my classmate in college in Smicha. I immortalized your father in volume 4 of Rakafet Aron. He's identified in the first row. Please take us on as your patients. We hear you are a wonderful doctor. Baruch Hashem, I left a note for her and I got a call within a few hours and we became her patients. But you see, you check out. We're not going to go to a doctor who's a shoteh or a shota. And by the way, today, the medical profession is being taken over by women, which takes us back to Tavla Meitav Dumei, Matav Amola. They can conquer the world. Yeah, but they need a man. They need a man, a decent man, a good man, a considerate man. Someone to love you. That's the secret of life, to grow old together. Not alone. All right. But why are women taking over? Because the men are all stupid. They all want to make money. Cy Sims is the division of Yeshiva University today. Who would believe it? The men, high tech, computers, and now they'll be kicked out of that. They'll find something else. But the women, they're fabulous doctors. And being a doctor works very well. You can arrange to work less, to have less hours, take care of family. All right, I don't have to tell you what I'm alluding to. Okay, finally, one more point that he makes. And a point, again, it's you have to think about this. He says, look, and even if something goes wrong, what went wrong here? When you're talking about plastic surgery, it's not something that's sakana. So something went wrong with your nose, with your throat, so you have to take a pill the rest of your life. It's not the end of the world. And I can tell you in Israel, when you turn 65, the computer tells your doctor certain pills that they want you to take. Because the statistics, again, you're playing a game of statistics, but the statistics show if you take these pills, there's much less illness. There's a cholesterol pill which I'm told they want to have every citizen of the state of Israel over 65 taking that pill. And I can tell you, for me it's fabulous, but I found that it doesn't only help with cholesterol, they see their other good side effects. So there's certain pills. Then there's the calcium to build up your bones, to build up the body. When you fall, you shouldn't get hurt. All right, I've been taking 2 calcium pills a day, I think, for 30 years already. And then they're pills. So he says that with all the fear we see, could be, if everyone of these has such common sense, that every last person that had this operation has to get involved in taking a pill for the rest of their life, maybe we would say you shouldn't do it. But we see just the opposite. Now, Fochu, he's using Purim language, all the Rofim who are experts in this type of medicine, there's no sakana. 99% of the operations are perfect. And if something goes wrong and it only means taking one more pill the rest of your life, Baruch Hashem, it's not the end. You can do it. Bekavod. Now, we're not finished with this. There's more, and there's another 2 tshuvot that he deals with, and there's a world of material that you can find. Rabbi Steinberg and others published here in Israel, sefer after sefer after sefer. But this tshuva, he hits the nail on the head. This is life. This is what we call hishtadlut. Yes, everything involves bitachon. We pray, we daven. The Bani Shalom makes the ultimate decisions. But decent doctors, they save many lives. And I can tell you what, I mentioned this, I think I mentioned it in class, if not I mentioned it in private conversation. But Rabbi Avishai David, he's the head of Torah Shragam. So Avishai and I go back to his, I was at his Brit Miller in the Bronx, you understand how many years we go back? And he's no youngster. So Avishai tells me, his mechutin is one of the high class doctors in Ein Kerem, Hadassah. So his mechutin told him, you should know Avishai, the level of medicine in Israel is higher than America. I've heard this from others too. At the level that someone told me they needed an operation in America, they were doing it the way they did it 20 years ago, and here they did it with a new, it was just fabulous. What's lacking here is the bedside manner. And that's part of Israel. And I'm sorry to tell this to you, but my greatest shock was when I came in Aliyah, the first funeral I attended, no Aron. No coffin, just a body wrapped in a talus. And I was shocked. Today, I'm shocked when I see a funeral from America and they're carrying a coffin. What do you need it for? But you see, Israel is a rough society. This is it. We don't, maybe it's a little bit better, but we don't put sugar on top of life. It is what it is. You'll see in the army, your conditions are going to be much better than mine were. I did basic training. Bad Arba, ask any one of the commanders if they remember, maybe the real high-ranking officers will tell you what Basis Hadracha Dalid was in Bethel, an old Jordanian army camp. Today, all right. But with all the better conditions, ultimately, there's no sugar. You got to be prepared, la'amod, to defend, to do, to follow, to learn. And you should be matzliach. And you should know that it's Israel. Back in Muncie, they wouldn't have nachat. Here, we're going to have a lot of nachat if you make a career out of the army. You follow me, Menachem Mendel? My son-in-law, I have a grandson, a career officer. Without that, we can't sit here and learn and propagate. And I can't go home and write, continue to write. And at 4 o'clock already, I was learning this morning. We need, so this is Nachat. And finally, I'll end off ready. Might as well end off with bringing it home. Have a lot of Nachat today. Believe me, in French, they won't understand what I'm talking about. You all know I'm working on my 10th book, Bezrat Hashem. And I got I had a lot of nachat lately. I met people raving about my work on the Rav. I said, no one said thank you to me. No one understands what I did. Suddenly the world woke up, and a few times now in the last few weeks. And then on the picture in Chaylik Dalid, Rakafet, of that I identified, they told me a whole story. Another classmate of mine died, not bringing that. And they say at the house of Shiva, the book was passed around and everyone talking and, oh, what Rakefet did. And he identified everyone. All right. So now a grandson, I have one grandson. Of all my large family, one grandson follows in my tradition. He's a teacher at the Shalavim. So he just got a contract. He's publishing a book. Elliot, you know what the book is about? Tanks. In World War II, he was in the drove a tank. He was a commander, a race bus, whatever. The tanks in Israel, and he did his one of his masters. He did on the whole battle in World War II when the tanks and what role they played and what we learned. And he worked on that book. Went even further. I bought him. Get a doctorate. That he has 3 masters, and it's a wonderful, he loves teaching, and they love him. He's been in Shalavim quite a few years already. And he said, no, I'm the happiest person alive, and he's busy with a big family. Can I hurry, you know? So, and he just got a contract and the book. No, Yiddish and Nachas. In months, they'd understand Yiddish and Nachas. Well, that's a safe of a tank. Where? France. This is Nachat. My dear students, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. I haven't had such a big class on Sunday. This is already since Corona. Tomorrow I'll have a bigger class, because when you talk Narishkeit, it attracts more than Shas and Paiskim, but okay. What did we do today? We did a tshuva, Reb Menashe Klein, on a woman with a crooked nose, a long nose. She needed an operation. Is she allowed? Chabalah. And it opened the whole world of medicine and life, and there's so much to talk on this topic. But this is Reb Menashe Klein. We haven't finished yet, but Baruch Hashem, this is the start. Now, are there any questions from the erudite audience in front of me? All right, Yomo, can you open it to the world? Yomo, by the way, again, I have to thank Yomo and Jack. They do a chesed with all my students, recording and putting it on YU Torah and describing it. Kol hakavod. Yomo? Okay. We're there?
Recording stopped.
Okay. And they're unmuted? They can talk? Okay. First of all, I want to thank everyone on screen for honoring me with your presence. And I want to mention that Mark Wiener decided it's not worth listening from Chicago and staying up all night. So he made the trip to Israel. He's sitting right next to me here. So Baruch Hashem. Now, are there any questions from around the world? Silence. All right, that's a good sign. Vic, how are you feeling?
Baruch Hashem, much better.
You sound much better.
I'm going to try tomorrow.
Okay, great. Okay, so until we meet again in health and happiness, thank you so much for honoring me with your presence. Das v'danya.